You're listening to Radio Boston. I'm Tiziana Deering. And that's A Capoeira Turca by Mehmet Ali Sanlıkol, who's a professor of music history and musicology at the New England Conservatory. It's from his latest record, Turkish Hipster, Tales from Swing to Psychedelic. Mehmet joined us in Studio 2 earlier this week to tell us about this new and truly eclectic work. And we started with the inspiration for this unusual multinational piece.
So the whole thing is based on an unusual, unexpected meeting of the Brazilian capoeira, and particularly represented by berimbau and some percussion instruments, plus a number of Turkish instruments led by the saz, the long-necked lute. So it's a meeting of two dance feels from Brazil and Turkey.
So you said like seven words that our listeners will never have heard of in there. One is the berimbau.
Yeah, berimbau is like there's a word for a bow, musical bow.
It looks like in the music video.
Yeah.
You walk onto the screen.
That's right.
Looking very Turkish hipster, I might add, on the screen. And somebody hands you something that at first I think they're handing you the bow for a bow and arrow.
Right, exactly.
But it's this instrument.
Right.
And it's got almost like it looks like a gourd.
Yes.
Almost at the bottom
The gourd is the amplifier, the natural amplifier of the instrument. Yes.
And that's where we're getting that, pardon me for singing, bum, 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 bum.
You got it.
Right,
yes,
from.
Yes,
right?
Yes, that's right.
And that's the Brazilian.
Yes, that's the Brazilian piece of it with added percussion.
Then you've got the lute.
Yeah, and then I got the lute. Yeah, and that's the mid-central Turkish. It's the most commonly associated lute with Turkish folk music. And
the name of that instrument
is saz. And basically, the idea behind why these two instruments, why these two dance feels, that's what's I think important. That is. The Brazilian folk styles in general happen to have a kind of swing to them. When I first came to Berkeley years ago, I remember in some ensemble we were trying to play some samba. I think it was one of the Brazilian musicians in that ensemble who stopped me and said, "Oh no, you can't play it like that," because I was playing it too even. It was too robotic for them.
Bum, bum, bum,
I was just kind of
bum,
going,
daga, 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 daga.
I was just going, daga, 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 daga. And then they said, no, gotta swing. And this is not the kind of swing that is identical to jazz swing, but it is something similar. That is, instead of going, daga, 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 you're supposed to go, daga, 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 daga. So it needs to kind of be circular. Funny thing is, years later, when I started learning in a variety of traditional Turkish musics and I picked up the saz, quickly I noticed that with these kinds of, with the kinds of central Turkish dance feels, the picking patterns on that instrument have the same kind of swing.
Those of our listeners who have heard our conversations before
will
know that what is particular to you as a musician is both your exploration, first of jazz when you came as a student at Berkeley. You're now at New England Conservatory, of course. But then rediscovering your Turkish roots.
That's right.
And then setting out with a kind of voracity to combine that and every other form of musical tradition you can get your hand. You've even invented your own instrument, the Renaissance 17, is, I think the last time we spoke with you here on Radio Boston was the Renaissance 17.
Right, right.
So this is not surprising that you would do this.
Right.
Capoeira is also a form of Brazilian martial arts.
Right.
Leg-based, heavily leg-based.
Right.
Where this step that you're talking about is sort of a three-beat step.
Right.
So that makes sense. But now you had to have a whole room full of musicians.
Right. I mean, it was risky to first, you know, come up with this hybrid groove pattern that's going to be the backbone of an extended jazz orchestra composition. It really was risky. So I had to do some preparations for it. I prepared certain sound bites in advance and pre-recorded, especially the Berenbau and so on and so forth. So basically having that kind of preparation, you know, helped me. But nevertheless, I knew that the guest artist, Annette Cohen, she was going to walk into the session. There just was no way around that.
And this is the clarinetist.
Yes.
So our guest artist is a clarinetist.
Right.
That was the other thing that was interesting to me about this song and really this whole album, Mehmet, was this blending. Not surprising, again, you do blend. But, I mean, we have these they're not hard instruments, but they're rhythmic instruments. Mm-hmm. And then you bring something as smooth as this clarinet. Clarinets can be reedy,
yeah.
Right? But this as smooth as this jazz clarinet, yeah, into this mix.
Yeah.
And that was a fascinating choice. And then we're here. We can hear it back and forth, back, yeah, and forth, back,
yeah,
and forth.
Yeah.
Talk about that. And was that fun for your artists? Was it hard and scary for your artists? I mean, they're all pros.
Yeah, they're all pros. And, you know, there are two sides to that question. So, first of all, I knew that Annette Cohen is very deeply, you know, tied and connected with Brazilian traditions in general. So, first of all, I knew of that connection. So I thought, okay, she'd be really the right person to feature in this piece. But also, I guess there is a certain sense of lyricism in me as a Turkish American person, and the Turkish side of that really builds on having these smooth lyrical melodies that go along with a lot of rhythmically energetic music. I mean, that's just the nature of a lot of music from Turkey, Greece, you know, that part of the world.
So I want to play another piece here. So this is from Times of the Turtle Dove. So clearly, bird sounds. And as I understand it, the bird sound actually inspired you, mm-hmm, to write this piece.
Very much so.
So tell me about,
okay,
that.
Okay. Right. So this particular type of turtle dove is found only in the near and the Middle East. So you won't hear that bird call in America. But I grew up with it. And later in life, I discovered that in classical Ottoman Turkish music, there is a rhythmic cycle that is called Fateh, which means turtle dove in Farsi. But you know, you don't get that call off of the rhythmic cycle. It's 20 beats long, meaning it's really long. Imagine that our regular measures are 4-4, like 4 beats. So this is 20 beats.
Yeah,
you know,
5 times,
yeah,
that.
Yeah, 5 times that. So they're long. So, well, I mean, the bird call is very short. To make a long story short, about a year and a half ago, a younger colleague of mine turned me onto a 15th century manuscript in which he said, hey, Mehmet, I found this 15th century manuscript, and in it, it says that the bird call was, in fact, the original version of this rhythmic cycle.
Really?
Yeah, which is 5 beats long. And it was, in fact, written like the cuckoo-coo, cuckoo-coo, which if you count, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, cuckoo-coo. It really is in 5 beats. So that was really inspiring. But what was even more inspiring is that then I found an early 18th century manuscript which stated the same rhythmic cycle in 10 beats. And then we have the current version in 20. And guess what? They are just the same. It's just that it got expanded and slowed down over centuries. I mean, such a discovery. Isn't that inspiring? I mean, that should be inspiring for anyone.
Well, so it's incredible, too, because, and let me just pause and say, yeah, again, we're speaking with Mehmet Ali Sanlıkol, professor of music history and musicology at New England Conservatory, and the new album, Turkish Hipster, Tales from Swing and Psychedelic. I think many people probably imagine that when somebody writes songs, they just sit down and write. They're probably not expecting 15th century manuscripts, 18th century manuscripts, mm-hmm, Middle Eastern bird songs, and right. So, you know, Do you sit down to thread these pieces together? Are you, I don't know, out for a run and all of a sudden the manuscripts and the birds crash in your head and give you ideas? How does this happen? To this. I mean, this also feels like jazz.
Yeah. I mean, it all happens. Someday you're walking down the street and you get a bass line in your head and it's good enough and you start something off of that. And then some other day, a friend of yours calls you up and says, I found this 15th century manuscript. And then that puts me into a trance for a week where I look at all of these other manuscripts and I discover this tale about humanity. And that inspires this composition.
When you bring together 20 artists,
yeah.
and this looked like a particularly intergenerational group of artists, mm-hmm. is that right?
Yeah, yeah.
Do you tell them all these stories, or do you leave them free to interpret the music based on whatever manuscripts they've been reading in the last week?
Well, I think in the jazz composition, jazz orchestra world, or even in classical, orchestra world, typically conductors, composers are typically expected to walk in and say a few words. And in this case, I do remember talking to them before we started rehearsing, maybe for 5 minutes and making this introduction. And I think that by now, the people that I work with, they've known me for a long time. They know how I work. And they are actually really interested in hearing all of that.
So, the second half of the album title, Tales from Swing to Psychedelic,
mm-hmm.
that is a huge range
yeah.
of genres to cover, yeah. right? The first two songs we've heard, really, really different.
Mm-hmm.
And now the third is really quite different again. So this is Boston Beat.
Yeah.
Crossing the Charles while I'm feeling the breeze blow. You gotta be cut from a certain cloth for these notes, cause these streets felt the souls from the soul we chose. Who packed in the Wally's to jam all night and let the drinks flow.
Now, on the one hand, you just gotta love it cause it's so Boston, right? Charles River and Wally's, we've got Scullers in there, you've got the Middle East, you're talking about Cambridge and Mission Hill.
Yeah.
But also, this is a rap feel, this is a hip-hop feel, right? This is Radar Ellis, who teaches at Berkeley.
Yeah.
This is an homage of sorts.
Yeah, it is an homage, and it's also a cry, because I understand that New York, has been a very important center and hub for jazz in general. But if we speak of jazz composition or jazz orchestra, big band, Boston has an equally important history and a legacy. And it is also true that our scene here, our composers here, have been left out from the greater jazz world, the greater, jazz magazines. They rarely turn and look at us. But, I traveled to other state cities other than New York and saw that, the jazz orchestra scene in Boston is cutting edge. Mm-hmm. It has always been like that. We have had Herb Pomeroy here, Bob Brookmeyer here, George Russell here, Greg Hopkins, Ken Pulley, Ken Schaphorst is still here. And half or more than half of the composers in New York have come out of Boston to begin with. And we still, those of us who are here, we write envelope-pushing music because we're in Boston. They're not paying it. We have a legacy here. And someone had to speak about that.
It's really interesting. We had Frank Poindexter, one of the owners of Wally's.
Mm-hmm.
You talk about Wally's in the song.
Yeah.
When they reopened, basically saying the same thing.
Yeah.
Saying, Boston has a rich history here and the new talent that I want is coming out of Boston.
Yeah. It is really true. It is really true. It's just that I guess the one distinction I wouldn't mind making, when we speak of small group jazz, it is, of course, New York has more clubs, more this, more that. But I think when you speak of, larger jazz orchestra, that tradition in particular, I think that is comparable in every way to, what's going on in New York in particular, but elsewhere. And we have a long legacy, a of that.
So I'm going to play another piece of music here. We'll play it and I'll talk over it at the same time, because my understanding is from the liner notes that a little bit of the inspiration for Boston Beat came from Jazz Corner of the World.
Right, yeah. This Quincy is Quincy Jones, back on the block.
Studied here at Berklee College of Music, by the way.
Yes.
And I think a lot of people don't know that about Quincy Jones.
Yeah.
So tell me about the influences.
Well, I mean, I wanted to tell our story, right? I mean, Radar begins by saying, like, it was like a beach on 150 Mass Ave, Berklee. That's where we all hang out at the time. This is early 90s when I first came here. Antonio Sanchez was on this album, you know. We were all hanging out then. And Berklee then was really more of a jazz school anyway. And so, I thought, well, who's going to tell this story? You know, the scene. I thought, well, wait a second. Quincy did it. You know, he did it like that about Birdland. I'm going to do it, you know, in a similar way, you know, with someone who can rap. And we'll, you know, I'll put together a couple of. And I said, I'm also going to feature a couple of the artists just as Quincy did.
So tell us the artists that you featured.
So they're the ones on the album, obviously. Mm-hmm. Antonio Sanchez, the great drummer and my friend. Miguel Zenon, a great Puerto Rican alto saxophone player, also my friend. And Annette Cohen, the clarinetist, you know, of whom we spoke about. And guess what, by the way? All three of them, immigrants.
So tell me why that's so important to you.
Oh, well, I'm an immigrant and I've been around for a while, and we share, you know, the immigrant experience is, in this case, you know, we share that. And I think that defines, I think, the character of the music, you know, that we speak of all this time, the fact that it's so multilingual. They can get into that. They understand it.
So I'm going to play a piece of music here. This is one third of the Abraham Suite, which is a series of three songs, The Fire, The Sacrifice, and The Call. This is The Fire. And we're starting this song a few minutes in. Mm-hmm. This is Turkish Sufi music. Mm-hmm. It's a form of musical prayer when we get to the chanting.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us about this.
Yeah, this is called a zikr. Zikr is it means remembrance, and it's a Sufi technique, let's just say, to, you know, get into some sort of a trance in order to achieve a spiritual ecstasy. You know, I don't think they would necessarily think of the zikr, these repeated phrases, repeated ostinato, immediately as music. But Sufis in general don't have a problem with music. And so typically to have these repeated ostinati with names of God, or this particular phrase, La ilaha illallah, which translates to there is no God but God, then laying on top of these kinds of ostinati, other musical improvisations, etc. These are very common traits among Sufi rituals.
And this is where the name of the album really comes into play, right? Because the casual listener might say, you just took a song like Boston Beat and you put it on the same album as this Sufi chant, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And that's on the same album where you put a blend of Turkish folk music and capoeira, right? Yeah. And then a bird song. And who exactly is this for, right?
Yeah.
But it's for, you're not being ironic when you say hipster.
I'm not. Yeah.
You're talking about something else.
Yeah, and I mean, I didn't set, you know, out to do an album which I said, you know what, I'm going to put, you know, entitle it Turkish Hipster, and that's exactly, you know, no, it didn't come out that way. I was thinking about these different pieces, and as it started coming together, I was like, in fact, I remember talking to my co-producer, saying, well, you know, this song is so hip, you know, this composition is hip, and he's like, wait a second, you know, you've been telling me that word for a few times by now, and that's how we got to it. This is an inviting album to many different kinds of listeners. There are many different endpoints. You know, they can walk in.
And in your liner notes, you sort of embrace this hipster concept as being a bit of an omnivore, as being somebody who explores as many genres as possible. And I have known you to be that in the time that I've known you. So we're going to play one more piece of music here before I give you the last question. You just said from this to that, to this to that, lest we think there isn't this that's available. Because why not? Tell us the name of the song.
This is Estarabim by one of the most famous Turkish rock musicians of all time, whom passed just recently. I covered this piece, and I don't think, you know, many big band composers, arrangers, even in Turkey, you know, do this kind of arrangement.
So now I have to ask you, you've invented your own instrument, you've explored the world of jazz and classical Turkish music and Turkish folk music, you've produced the most wide-ranging album I've probably ever heard at this point with Turkish Hipster. What on earth could be left for you to do?
Oh, boy. I want to answer that question in a different way. This is not the music that I put together for this CD. I'm not creating a project. You know, I'm not after my next concert, which is going to feature the so-and-so artist whom, you know, I will meet only the day before, and we're going to put this concert together, you know, in the sound check. And it'll be Indian music meets jazz and da-da-da-da. It's not like that. I've internalized all of these musics, whether it's the Brazilian samba, capoeira, or it's Turkish folk music or Turkish psychedelia, you know. I grew up with that. I mean, you know, these guys were still alive. I saw them on Turkish TV growing up, played in progressive rock bands in my teens. The depth of that kind of a process, it always reveals something. So I'm sure that it will reveal, just like the bird song, it'll reveal something else soon.
And on that, Mehmet Ali Senlikol, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Mehmet Ali Senlikol is a professor of music history and musicology at the New England Conservatory. The album Turkish Hipster, Tales from Swing to Psychedelic, is out now, and you can see Mehmet perform his music at the Crystal Ballroom on September 28th. We talked with Mehmet in Studio 2 earlier this week. Now, coming up tomorrow, we revisit some of our favorite conversations with cookbook authors just in time for the weekend.